Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning and we want to just hear a word from you. Father, we want you to touch our hearts and not leave us the same. We want you to change us, Father, and make us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we got a long way to go, but I ask, dear God, that you would chip away and work in us even right now this morning, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So real quick, as you guys leave, lots of harvest on the table. And by the way, you know, the harvest, it takes work. And growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit and a cooperative human being like us to let God work in us. And we're looking for that today. We're going to continue our series this morning, The Church, God's Gift of Grace. And what we want to look at this morning is some more details. How does that play out in our lives? And we want to talk about the walk of a God follower or Christ follower. And we want to focus today on light. Light. Like, light's so important, isn't it? We want to talk about light. Light is so critical. And I want to dive right in. Take your Bibles. I didn't say that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're working our way through this incredible book that just is a life-changing letter from Paul written in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just dig right in this morning, and I want to just talk about, by way of introduction, you know, this idea of the walk of a Christ follower. And if you're here, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and by the way, Steve Scott, it's so nice to see you back in your spot. So we praise God. Steve's been working through some medication stuff, and we're just praising God that he's here. So we are thanking God for that. But I want to dig right in, and I want to start out this morning. I don't know if you guys all noticed, but I got a haircut this week. And I got a haircut on Friday night. I got in just before they closed. So I was hoping they weren't mad because that could be bad for me. But they weren't. And I go to a barber. He has been my barber for like 50 years. He's been cutting hair. And it started out with a conversation. I didn't come up with a message at the barber shop. I've been thinking about it all week and planning for it for months. But, you know, I talked to the barber, and the barber was telling me, and he always, we talk about all kinds of things. And sometimes he's a little rough around the edges, but I love him. And he just says, what is wrong with people? He said, they are so mean and so selfish. And he said, you know what? I cut hair for 50 years, and I have never seen people like they are today. And I'll throw this out. I am not the only Christian that get their hair cut at that barbershop. So that was kind of our conversation as he was cutting my hair. You know, it's kind of intense at times. I was hoping everything was going to be all right. But, you know, in a serious way, he's asking the question, and he comes from a, you know, a background, church background, not our church background. But he's seeing people, and he's just seeing the meanness and the vindictiveness and just the anger and the frustration. And he's saying, what in the world is going on? I've never seen anything like it. What's happening out there? And I want to throw out, you know, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, God has called us to a different way of living. You know, and as we look at this book, and I just want to run through real quick, you know, we looked at chapter 4, verse 1. And by the way, just kind of get this in your mind. In the book of Ephesians, as in many Pauline epistles, epistles written by the Apostle Paul, and the word epistle, you guys understand, just means a letter. Paul wrote these letters back to his churches that he started, and he gave them some really important things that they need to understand and believe, and then he told them how they need to act in light of those things. And as we got to chapter 4, we kind of segued from what we believe and what are the great truths of Scripture to how do we need to live our lives and how do we need to act. And Paul said we need a walk that's worthy to match the excellence of Christ's calling. You know, it shows the fruit of the Spirit and the unity of the Godhead. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, maybe we need to see more of the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to see more unity like the God. When I say that, the Godhead is, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you guys to answer this question. Do we ever see division in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No. Never, never, never. Like, that's the kind of division. In fact, in John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer was, Father, make them unified like we are forever, no matter what happens. You know, so that's an issue that the Lord is really striving for. And then he says in chapter 4, verse 17, he said, you know, I want you guys to have a new walk, a different walk, unlike the Gentiles. And I want you guys to think back. When we see the word Gentiles, what does that mean? It means nations or people that don't know God, right? It's not a derogatory term. Like there's kind of two people on earth. There's really two classes of people, you know, in this age, saved and unsaved. You know, there's two people that the Lord talks about. In this case, he always used the idea of Jews, people that were part of the covenant, the God's promises, the law, and Gentiles, people that don't know God. And he says, I don't want you to act like people that don't know God, and specifically put off your old desires, your old stinking attitudes, and put on a new life, especially a renewed mind. And by the way, everybody look up. Just so you know, I'm not picking on you, because sometimes I got a stinking attitude too, and God wants to change it. So we got to work on all those things. And then we got to last week, and that chapter 4, verse 17 and following, that message was kind of the big picture. And you guys, write this down. Big picture is what? We ought to be new. Specifically, we looked at last week, what God wants us to do is he wants our lifestyle or our walk, and the word for walk and lifestyle, it's like the same idea. The word, Greek word is peripateo, and it just has, I want you to live your life. I want you to walk through life this way. And he says, I want you to walk through in love. And he said, I want you to imitate God. And here's the thought, you know, for my barber and everyone else we run into, whatever we do, we should be an imitator of God. When people see us, they shouldn't go, oh, no. They should be like, wow, look at the distinction that this person brings to the picture, you know, in everything that we bring. So God's looking for specifics, a walk in love, a walk in light we'll talk about today, a walk in wisdom we're going to cover next week. And I really encourage you, especially if you're a teenager or a young person, we're talking about walking in wisdom. There's some really key things that we are wrestling with as a culture that God speaks to directly. And we're going to deal with that next week. And then lastly, we're going to talk about the walk of submission, which again is so, so important. Submission is in every facet of life, rightfully putting myself under others that God has ordained. So I want to quickly move through. A couple weeks ago, we looked at this. This is this idea about being new. Believers are known by a new walk, a new wardrobe, and a new way of living. Right? We should have a different lifestyle, different core values, and we're actively renewing our minds and replacing sinful, selfish practices with new ones that reflect our identity. Like, that's so important. Think about that. That's who we ought to be. Day to day, we are being renewed, being changed, becoming more new, more like Christ, less like the world, more like Christ. And less like, by the way, I say the world, we always talk about the world, like everyone's bad. Less like our old self. Because my old self is ugly, with or without a haircut. My old self is pretty ugly. And sometimes I was kidding around with someone in our church, and we were saying, boy, I'm so glad you got saved. And they said, I'm so glad you got saved too. And think about what we were like. I mean, look at each other, look around, look even in your own families. Aren't you glad the people that are in your family that are born again are born again? You know some people that are pretty determined, pretty aggressive. Aren't you glad they're saved? Like, that's what we're talking about. God's looking for that kind of change in us. You know, and then last week we talked about love. You know, God's looking for this Christ-like sacrificial love. And I don't know about you. I don't like being a sacrifice. You know, I like to be the one who is, in control and getting what I want. But God wants me to be a sacrifice. It's a distinguishing characteristic, sacrificial love. Even when it hurts, even when it's not to my best interest, my goal is to love sacrificially. That's what God wants, and we're supposed to imitate God in that way. So now today, what we want to get into is, here's where we're going today. You know what? Christ followers or God followers walk in light, and the phrase I want you to get, it says, walk as children of light. That's the actual words from Scripture. So here's what I want you guys to think about. Work with me on this for a second. So Christians, and everybody get this, everybody look up. Christians, what does that word mean? It's up there, right? Little Christ. Everybody look up. You are a little Christ if you're a believer. Does the world see you that way? Do your friends see you that way? Does your family see you that way? Are they going like, man, he's a little Christ? Or are they going like, oh my God, what did he do, right? You know, what's going on? And here's the thought. Christians should have a life that demonstrates a deepening relationship with the Holy Spirit. In other words, spiritual fruit. We'll look at that. We're going to work off of that in a second. And a growing obedience to God's word. And there should be goodness, and we'll define what that means, righteousness and truth. Like, that's what people ought to see in us, right? That, like, the light should be becoming brighter. It should be more prominent in our lives. And we should be walking as children of light. So let's jump in real fast. Let's dig into scripture and see what God says. And by the way, that was this morning. Isn't that kind of cool? Sun was coming up. And it says, our identity then and now. And let's talk about who we were and who we are. And let's just dig right into that. So here's the scripture. And again, Paul, right, when he writes these things down, these phrases are just bursting with thought and conviction and just God's desire to see us change. And look what he says. He says, for you were once darkness. And by the way, get that in your minds. Are you still darkness as a believer? You are not darkness, right? You are a child of light. But it says you were. And, you know, by the way, I like this in the book of 1 Corinthians. It says this too. You were, and it lists like all these awful sins. You were these, but you're not anymore. And God wants us to be different. And he says, but now you are light in the Lord. So let's talk about real quick. So obviously if we stop, and there's two pieces that we want to think about here. And Sam clicked me, I'm a little bit stuck. There's two things we want to get a grip on as we look at our identity then and now. And the first thing is, it says that we were darkness. And let's all be real. Everybody look up for a quick second. Is it true? Were y'all pretty dark? Yep. Yeah, I was too. And darkness, by the way, has a couple connotations if you write down with it. And I put these up here. So the description of darkness, and kind of get this in your mind, has this idea of being deceived, you know, where darkness is kind of deceiving. Sometimes in darkness, you know, there's a lot of danger, but we think we're okay. You know, how many times have you got up, maybe in the middle of the night, and you walked into the bedpost with your toes? And, you know, whether it was cloudy outside or it was clear, when you did that, you saw stars. Right? And that's kind of what darkness does. It kind of covers things up. It kind of makes us think everything is okay. We're deceived. We think it's all good, and it's not so good. And that's why, you know, for example, in the darkness, we have reflectors. We have guardrail. We have lights that illuminate areas of danger so that we don't fall into it. So the idea of darkness is, the description is, you know, deception, blindness. By the way, darkness many times leaves us helpless. And darkness also leaves us hopeless. So I want to just dig in for a second. I want to go back, and I put these passages up there. Jot them down. They're right in our book. You only have to go back a page or two. We're going to look at these. The scripture defines, what does darkness look like? This is who we were until we met Christ personally. And if you haven't met Christ personally, man, praise God, we want you to come into the light today, and it's going to be good. And the idea, go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. In this passage, we won't look at all of these for the sake of our time, but look at Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Look, it lays out for us just what it means when we were darkness. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. So in our darkness, we were dead. We were hopeless. We couldn't do anything. We were helpless. We probably didn't even know. And I'll throw this out. For many people, before they got saved, they didn't even know they were sinners. They didn't even know they were a mess until the Holy Spirit drew them and just pierced their heart, and they understood. They didn't know what a mess they were. And I didn't know what a mess I was completely either. And he just says, here's how you walked. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. And I want to ask you guys a question. What is that? What's the course of this world? What are most people in the world trying to do? Write down these two words. Please themselves. Write it down. The course of this world is please yourself. If it hurts someone, so what? Because I'm pleasing myself. I'm getting what I want. You know, the subject of the course of this world is I. And that's kind of what he's getting at. Notice he goes on. He says, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, and I put this up there on the screen, the driver of the course of this world, the driver of the darkness is Satan. He portrays himself, Scripture says, as an angel of light, but he is a demon of darkness. And he is only trying to deceive you, hurt you, destroy you, and wreck God's plan, which is a good plan for your hope, for your benefit, and for your eternity. You know, Satan's trying to ruin you. So Satan is the one, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Everybody look up. Just to be clear, right? The one in control of the affairs of this age is the devil. And you don't have to look too far to understand that. We see all the division and all the mess, you know, all the killing, all the murder, all the hatred. You know, we can name every other sin. And where does that come from? That comes from the pit of hell and from Satan himself. And he's doing an incredible job of deceiving the world, you know, and even believers at times. So we understand. That's what he says. He says that's what darkness is. And look what he says. This is how that plays out in our lives. He says, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. So we're in the darkness. We just disobey God because it gets in our way of getting what we want. So disobedience is all part of darkness. He continues and he says, among whom also we conducted ourselves, look at the next word, in the lust of our flesh. In other words, I'm going to please my desires no matter what. So why do I steal? Because I want it. Why do I rape? Because I want that. Why do I do these things? Because I want that. That's my desire, and I'm going to satisfy it. That's darkness. And I'm going to throw this out. You know what real darkness is? The darkness sometimes is so dark that individuals that are in that, even us before we were saved, we can't see how wrong and how messed up it is. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. So that's kind of what he's talking about. That's this issue. And then I want to just pick up, go on to verse 11. He says, therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. What's the word Gentiles? What's that mean? Right? You are acting and thinking like a person who doesn't know God. So that's all he's saying. That's good. Who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision in the flesh. He says, at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. There's darkness. So let's just be clear. That's who you were. Everybody look up. That's who you what? Were. That's not who you are anymore if you're a believer in Christ. And again, if you're not a believer in Christ, man, you can come into the light today and be part of God's family. And what a wonderful place that is. You will never want to go back. So here's the next thing. And I just want to just say one last thing. The driver, right, is Satan, our flesh, our desires, our lust, and our selfishness. Now, everybody look up. Anybody still struggle with that? Raise your hand. I am, as I go along, as I'm trying to live the Christian life, as I go through these last couple years, just like you do, I can still see how selfish I am. Anybody else? You know, I am a selfish dog at times. I really am. It's really true. It sounds funny, but it's true. Like, I like me. I like comfort. I like what I want when I want it. You know, and God's tempered that some, but I'm going to throw this out. God is taking me out of the darkness and you out of the dark because he wants us to see just how ugly we are in our flesh. And he doesn't want to leave us there. He doesn't want to keep us being that same way. He wants to change us into the image of Christ. So let's talk about light. He says, but now you are light in the Lord. Underline that phrase, right? You are light how? In the Lord. Before the Lord, you were dark. If there was no Lord, you'd still be dark, and so would I. We'd all be still in our mess with no way out. So here's the description, right? Think about this when we think about light. Light is discerning. I can see the bedpost that's about to make me see stars. You know, I can see the hole. You know, years ago, I remember running through Willingboro. I love to jog. I was running through Willingboro at night, right down on JFK Way across from where the firehouse was. Remember that used to be a bank in there? I think it was Wisfus Bank, or it was, I guess, Beneficial, or Farmers and Mechanics. How old are we, right? Back in that day. And I was running along, and I stepped in a hole, and people were probably laughing if they were driving. I rolled on the ground, and I had to limp all the way home because I tore up my ankle when I did it. But that's what darkness does, right? It conceals those things. Now, you all have fallen, too, in the darkness, and you're like, you know, what happened? The darkness conceals those things, but the light reveals. It gives us discernment. When we have light, we see. When we have light, we're capable. When we have light, we're hopeful. Turn to Acts chapter 26 real fast. Great passage. The Apostle Paul, Luke wrote this passage, and it speaks to what we are called to do, and Paul gives it to us here. You know, Paul is recounting his conversion. And look what he says. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, those who don't know God, to whom I now send you. And look what he says. He says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So what was Paul's job? And by the way, what's my job? What's your job? You know, this is my job right now. It's our job every day. Our job is to turn people from darkness to light. And we don't have to go real far, trust me. Like the darkness is everywhere. People are everywhere. People are in darkness. And we were in darkness. There's people in your family that are still in darkness. You know, many times we feign or pretend we're in the light, but we are really dark. You know, and this is what he's trying to get about. That's kind of a description. So he gives us that, and I'll just throw this out. I'm not going to look at all these passages. In chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus said this. He said to us, he said, we are light. And we're supposed, our light's supposed to be like up on a lampstand. And it's a light to everybody, like a city on a hill. We're supposed to be that kind of light now that we've been enlightened. Jesus in John chapter 1, right, he said, he's the light. He was the light for men, and he brings that light to us, and we need to understand that. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, again, come out of the darkness and into the light. First John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, again, John says, and I want to turn there, go to First John. First John 1, it says, this is the message we have heard and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You know, that's who we are. We are light. We're supposed to be light. We've been saved. We've been born again. God has made all things new. He's turned the light on in our lives, and spiritually now we can discern when we are in darkness or when we're in light. Everybody look up. Here's a question. Was there any time this week that you were able to discern your own darkness? Just think about that. You know, maybe you were hot. You know, maybe you were, you know, whatever, but you could just see the darkness in your heart. Like, wow. And I'm going to throw this out. You know what? A little while back, that wasn't so evident. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to turn the light on in your life every single day. And the driver of this light of life is the Holy Spirit. And the driver is God has given you a renewed mind. Not the same old mind, because your mind was wired like my mind, which was take care of me. God rewired your mind, and your mind now says, bring praise and glory to God. That's different. Way different. And he wants us to do that. So that was our identity then and our identity now. Now let's just kind of dig in for this morning. And you see that picture there. The sun was coming right through the foyer this morning. I was like, that is going to be a good shot for this. That's how God wants us to walk, right? Walk in the light. And I want to just share with you. Look what he says. And this is kind of where we want to dig in a little bit this morning. He says, walk as children of light, and get this part, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We'll deal with the rest in a second. Let's just dig in for a second. So these are imperatives, and by the way, just jot down, what's an imperative? It's the command. So again, Paul's getting real clear in the book of Ephesians. He said, this is what you need to believe. These are the truths. This is the doctrine that you know that defines you as a believer. Now, this is how we need to live. And look what he says. He says, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And notice the first thing he says, and by the way, go back to the book of Ephesians if you're not there. And I want you to read it with me as we look at this verse. He says, verse 8b, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we know, what's the fruit of the Spirit passage? Galatians 5, right? Like 22 to 25, and we'll look at that in a second. And that talks about, so the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, right? What else? Patience or long-suffering, self-control, right? Those are the fruit of the Spirit. So when I see those things, I know that the Spirit is actively working on me and bringing those out, because that's something that I don't normally produce. How about you? In my flesh, there's not a whole lot of long-suffering. In my flesh, there's not a whole lot of joy. In my flesh, there's not a whole lot of peace. In my flesh, there's not often a whole lot of love, except for me, right? That's kind of who we are. So the fruit of the Spirit is these things. He says, it's goodness, righteousness, and truth. And I want to stop for a second. This, by the way, is profound. When you kind of dig in deep and begin to understand the words, what does the word goodness mean? What's it mean? Like God, that's on the right track. And get this, if you look up this word in the Greek language, here's what goodness means. That I am especially concerned about the welfare of others. So get this, Christians, right? And I'm looking at me too. Get this. A defining thing as a person who walks in the light is that I am concerned about the wellness of others. Remember, we looked at this when we talked about being new. We said joy, Jesus, others, you. A defining thing about me when I'm walking in the light of God's word and in the Holy Spirit is other people matter more than I do. And I'm going to throw this out. Am I seeing that in the world today? Am I seeing that in the church today the way I should? And I think the answer is no. That's why my barber's going, what's going on? Because we're not walking in the light at all. And that might be overstone. We're not walking in the light a lot, maybe not at all, right? So this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says righteousness. You know, righteousness is I am living, I'm modeling. Remember before he said in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, imitate God. With your love, imitate God with your righteousness. Righteousness means I'm living a life that's set apart to God, and I'm not participating in things that don't please God. And that's my attitude, my thoughts, and my action, my words too, all those things. Like he says, you know, this is what it is. So I'm walking in light, I should be seeing the fruit of the Spirit come out. So you guys, do me a favor, turn over to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 5. And let's just take a quick inventory of the types of fruits that are possible. And let us ask ourselves, what are we seeing in our lives and even in the lives of others in Christendom? Now check out what he says. Like, go to verse 19. Paul writes this too. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So everybody get this in your mind, right? And kind of look up for a second. The works of the flesh, a good way to say it, are obvious. It's not a surprise. When you see this, you know it's the work of the flesh. As a believer in Christ, you ought to be able to say to yourself, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You know, God, I confess, I am sinning, I am sinning, I am sinning. So the works of the flesh are these things. And look what he says here in this text. He says in chapter 5, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Right? We know that involves sexual sin, fornication, sexual sin, uncleanness. We talked about that last week in that same area of immorality. He talks about lewdness. Again, that same thing. And by the way, we would all say, yeah, those are wrong. You know, the church, we come down on those things really, really hard. But notice he continues. He says, idolatry. Everybody look up. When was the last time you put something before God? And I don't mean just, you know, I didn't come to church because I was going to this game or doing that. But in your heart, you're putting maybe money before God, power before God, your job before God, this before God, that before God. We all do that a lot, sadly. But idolatry is something that's a fruit of the flesh, and we have to call it what it is. That's sin. God doesn't want that. And he said, that's something I shouldn't be seeing. And then he goes on, how about this word, sorcery? And I want you guys to write this one down. We're going to deal with this next week in a little more depth. Sorcery comes from a Greek word. The word is pharmakia. What's that sound like? Sounds like pharmacy, right? Well, you know what sorcery is all about? Using drugs, being intoxicated, right? That is a work of the flesh. And you know why? Because it makes us feel good, right? And it makes us feel good, not God feel good. Like those kind of things he's picking out. Those are works of the flesh. And he continues. And he says, how about this one? You know, and we kind of downplay these, right? You know, because we deal with the big sins in church. But here he says, what about hatred? What about contention? That's our world today. I can't walk out my door and not find contention about everything. Funny story, the barber said that. He says, you know, at the barber shop, and this is true, by the way, in whatever barber shop you go, people talk about everything. Like the barber shop, the barber's like your counselor sometimes, it feels like, right? Right? But he says, I can't do that anymore because people don't come back. You know, we can't talk about politics, we can't talk about religion, we can't talk about this, we can't talk about that. Everyone is just so fired up, we can't talk about anything civilly. And I want to ask you guys a question. Where's that coming from? From the flesh. Right? It's coming from the flesh. That's what he says. And again, as Christians, that's the problem. And he says, jealousy. We got a lot of that. Outburst of wrath. I mean, just go on to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, you can name every other service, right? Email, you know, if you don't have any of those things. You know, people are just like venting about everything, right? Outbursts of wrath. Here's a funny thing. I wonder how many problems in life have been fixed by venting on social media. And you know the answer just like I do. How many is that? It's zero, right? And again, that's the flesh. By the way, and hear me out for a second. I'm not condemning you. I'm condemning me too. By the grace of God, I have kept myself very quiet on Facebook and on Twitter and those other things because I don't want to incent that. And I don't want to shoot my mouth off in a rush and regret it for the next 20 years. Does that make sense? Now, we need to engage and talk about issues and do stuff, but we got to be really, really Christ-like and Spirit-led when we're doing that. And that's what he's kind of getting at here. And he says, selfish ambition, again, dissensions, heresy, envy. Again, as Christians, we don't talk about those are the little sins, but those are the sins that show what our real heart is. And that is a work of darkness and the flesh. And it's just so important for us to understand just where he's coming from with that. And then, look, I'm just going to segue out because he deals with the big ones again, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And we go, oh, of course they're wrong. But go down to look at the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Remember, long-suffering is patience with people and situations as I rest and trust in God. Kindness, goodness, there's that word goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. So I want to step back for a second. He used this phrase, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we understand that's what God is looking for as we walk in light. And I want to throw this out. I think this is the most important part of what I'm going to say today. I'm not going to say too many more things other than briefly. But we need to have this daily walk of light. And you know, we can read Romans 12, 1 and 2. What's that say? The mercies of God that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that verse kind of gets at this issue, right, is that we need transformation. And just to get it clear, transformation is change from the inside out. God changes my heart, which changes my thoughts, it changes my attitude, it changes my words, and it changes my action. You know, in the picture of that word, right, is the word like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon. How many folks love worms? A whole lot more like butterflies, right? When you see like the monarch butterfly, the orange and black, that big giant butterfly, or the gold and black one, you see that and it's like, wow. You see the worm, it's like, ugh. God wants to transform us to be butterflies from worms. We all are worms. We need to become the butterfly. And the thought I want you guys to get a hold of, and I wrote these down in words, is what does that process look like? What does it look like to walk in light? And I'll throw this out. He uses the word finding out. And that has the idea of examining closely. You know when you have like a splinter in your hand, you know, you kind of got to get real close and go, man, this thing is hurting. Where is it at? You know what I'm talking about? That's like that kind of examination. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, you're not just doing it big picture. But he says, I want you guys to search. I want you guys to read scripture and search out what are the things that God wants me to know and understand and be in my life. And that's what he gets across. And I'll go back to Ephesians. He says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And everybody look up real quick. That is more than murder, stealing, rape, and all the big sins. Because most of us, my problem is I don't go steal at stores anymore. That's not my problem. My problem is right here and right here that I am a mess. I think bad. My attitude's bad. My heart is bad. My motivation is bad. My desires are bad. That's the issue for us as we mature more in Christ. It's not just the big sins. Those are still big sins. But the issue is God wants to change our heart in a more complete way. And he says, I want you to find it out. So it takes us, and by the way, this process, I think, has been preempted a lot by the craziness of our day. And I'll confess, that's me a lot of times. Yeah, many times I'm out the door before my head is even screwed on right. How about you? And I say my head screwed on right is my attitude is right. I'm remembering that God is in control. I know that God's going to be with me today. He's not going to leave me or forsake me. I know that my goal is to please God, not please me. I need that head screwed on right before the world meets me. How about you? And I'll throw this out. Here's the process, right? It's a process of searching Scripture. And here's the next thing that we often run past, reflection. We could use the word meditation, but I got to think about, you know, God says this is right or this is wrong. And I got to say, how does my life look when I compare myself to what God just said? And that's got to be a progressive day-to-day thing. I'm reflecting what is going on. And more often than not, that's going to lead me to repent and admit to God that I'm not where I need to be this morning or in general. So there's this repentance piece. Then there's this part where God is then renewing my mind. You know, he's getting my head screwed on right for the day so that I'm ready for what I have to face. And I want to throw this one out too. You know, it's not just an issue of dealing with sin, but this process of walking in the light is what gives me rest. You know what? We read about it. You know, Rosemary's family member has surgery this week. Others have surgery this week. Others are getting biopsy results this week. All kinds of stuff is going on. And you know what? I need to know that God is with me. He's never going to leave me. He loves me. He has my best interest in mind all of the time. I need to know that heaven is secure, that my salvation is sure. All those things are things that give me rest as I reflect and walk in the light of God's word. Now, I don't know about you, like this last 15 months, 16 months is probably going to be, I don't know how many months before we're done. This time has made me tired. I need some rest. And it's not just physical tired. Not like I don't sleep at night, but, you know, I wake up just as, you know, upset, concerned, worrisome as I did when I went to sleep. How about you? Right? And that, by the way, sometimes we'll say, no, I'm good. And I might be good on the surface, but inside, my good ain't that good. Right? And that's what the Lord wants us to have, that process going on. And the last thing I want to just add here, he just says, guard your fellowship. You know, if I'm walking in the light, he says, guard your fellowship with people, practices, and things. In other words, and I'll just read the text here. He just says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And he goes in, he describes that whole idea. So here's the thought. What he's trying to say is, you know what? Do not entertain the unfruitful works of darkness. And I'll throw this out. There's a great statement. Someone said this. It's an old one. You may have heard it, but it's kind of funny. Someone said, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head. How's the rest of that go? But I can prevent them from making a nest in my hair. Or in some of our cases, skin, right? That's what he says, right? So the point is, right, is that I need to not entertain thoughts that are wicked, thoughts that are evil. I don't need to investigate them. I don't need to check them out because everyone else is. You know, and I could give you all kinds of examples. Here's one. People today are very fascinated with the occult. Don't go near it with a 10-foot pole. You will open up doors that you cannot shut. Right? That's an example. And that's what he's trying to say. He says, don't do that. You know, expose those things. Don't speak about them. Here's what he's talking about there. You know, people share their war stories about their sins. He said, don't do that in the body because no one needs to know that. You know, you may say, God saved me out of this. We don't need the graphic detail. You know, and then he says, be vigilant. And 1 Peter says that, right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is what? He is walking about seeking whom he can devour. So we got to walk in light. Walk in light. And read, reflect, repent, renew, rest, restore, repeat. Keep on doing it every single day, right? That's what God wants us to do. It's worth thinking about that. So last thing, and we're done. So what's God want us to do? Our initiatives, our personal application. Where are we at today? What do we got to do? Here's some thoughts. I encourage you guys, examine yourselves and your walk. Is it darkness or light? If you're a Christian, it's got to be light. Got to get ourselves, it's easy by the way to fall back in the dark. Got to be light. And I encourage you this, establish, if you're not a believer today, Jesus died for your sins and he wants to save you, he wants to change you, he wants to give you hope. Come into God's family and you will be a child of light. For us that are already in the family, let's reestablish our walk as children of light. Searching, reflecting, repenting, renewing, resting, and repeating. Like the word of God is what changes us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't just rest on what I learned last week or last year or last month. It's got to be fresh. The older we get, the more we forget, the worse we see, and we don't hear so good either. We got to keep going, got to keep doing it, right? And then our fellowship. Are we faithful to God or are we fooling around with evil? And I'm going to challenge this again. You know, by the way, it's not just kids that do this stuff. Are we fooling around with evil? You know, sometimes as Christians, we want to get as close as we can, but we don't want, you know, beyond touching it. God's like, no. You see sin, run. Get away. Especially certain sins, sexual sins, idolatry. Scripture says, run. Don't toy with it. But we want to do that. And I want to challenge, have you and I let our guard down? I think in a lot of cases, yes. And finally, leave you guys with this. So what needs to change? What needs to change? From what I hear, we could represent Christ a whole lot better. Let's walk in light. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, it gets right under our skin, Lord. It comforts us when we're afflicted, but it afflicts us when we're comfortable. And Lord God, that is a good thing. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, we understand the fruits of darkness. We understand the fruits of the Spirit. Dear God, just convict us if we are in the wrong place there. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us establish a daily process of washing the dirt off of ourselves and our minds, that we would indeed walk as children of light. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just really, really, Father, don't let us get away today without thinking about these things seriously and deeply. Father, change our selfishness. Change, Lord, our whole understanding, Lord, of what it means to walk in light, I pray. And Father God, may we bring you glory. May we bring joy to others as we walk in light. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.